And we're holding on Pei Aleph, Omud Bey's second line from the bottom. We talked about yesterday the case where a woman says, where a woman makes a neder involving tashmish. So we said there are cases where the neder is not even a valid neder because she's meshubad to her husband for it. But then we said there are cases where it would in fact be a valid neder because she says, hana is tashmish ha'alai, the hana is also to me, and you can't force a person to eat something which is also to them. However, we had a braisa, which we said was according to Rabbi Yossi, that would be considered classic dvarim shebeina levena. It's something that interferes with the relationship between her and her husband. Therefore, her husband has the ability to be made for it to the extent that it won't apply to him. So we said now dvarim shebeina levena means, in other words, that if she ever dies, if he dies or divorces her and she remarries, then in fact the neder will be back in effect. So that was all according to Rabbi Yossi. So now, Bominei Rava Mirab Nachman. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, what about Tashmish HaMetel Rabbanim? What would be the din according to the Chachamim? Do the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yossi on that? After all, they said in the Mishnah that not bathing or not wearing cosmetics is considered Inui Nefesh for them. So do we say as far as Tashmish also Inui Nefeshu? Do we say according to them it's also a matter of Inui Nefesh? Such that he can be made for it forever. Do they differ with Rabbi Yossi and call it Nidre Inui Nefesh, which then it means he could be made for it forever? Or is it only Dvarim Shebeina Levena, in which case he can only be made for as far as it concerns himself? Omalei. So Rav Nachman answers him, Tini Suha. Well, we have a Mishnah that we can answer this from. The Mishnah at the end, the last Mishnah of Om Masechta says, one of the cases, the Mishnah describes over there three nedarim that a woman might make that interfere with the relation, or not in three nedarim, but three statements anyway, that she says that might interfere with the relationship between her and her husband, and what we do about that. So the Mishnah says one of them is on a tula, nimina yehudim. She says that I'm removed from the Jewish people, meaning that she's made a neder not to have tashmish with anybody, which of course includes her husband. Tosfos, by the way, over there asks the question on that Mishnah that don't we say ein isur chal al isur? How can the isur for that she's asking tashmish with anybody else be chal when she's already also in tashmish with anybody else other than her husband anyway? So one answer would be, okay, well, we learned in Yevamos that you have something called Isur Kolel and Isur Moisif. You have different kinds of things like that, where an Isur includes something else, which otherwise would have been Mutter, like this. Her husband would have been Mutter to her. Everybody else would have been Osir. So therefore, such a neder can be chal. However, Tosfos asks over there that we're saying in the Gemara over here that this Mishnah that we're quoting is according to Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi does not hold of that concept of Isu Kolo. So they left it as Tzorachim. There's a couple of answers that Achronim give. Rabbi Akiva Eger gives an answer that when we say that Mishnayos and our Perek are according to Rabbi Yossi, we mean as far as the dinim and as far as the actual dinim stated in them, not necessarily as far as the dinim that we can derive from them. In this particular case, we're saying that we can derive from the Mishnah the fact that if she says Natula Ani Min Ayuhudim, that such a neder is chal, not necessarily are we saying that that's according to Rabbi Yossi. He gives another answer as well that we don't say when in Isur Chal al Isur doesn't mean the other Isur is completely bottle, just means that it's kind of hanging over there. Oh, good morning, Avraham Moshe.
Good morning.
Doesn't mean it's completely bottle, just means that it's kind of suspended there, but nevertheless, it still is a valid neder and can eventually take effect. Those are a couple of answers, and then another point that Avni Milurian makes a point. That we've learned the Ran learns earlier in the Masechta that a neder can be chal on top of a shavua. Well, in this case over here, you have the iser for her to other men is an iser on them. The neder that she just made is chal on herself. So therefore, one is able to be chal on the other. In any case, so we're saying that if she says Natulani Minayuhodim, we're at the top of Pei Beis and Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Yofer Chelko, the husband can be made for his part of the neder, meaning that he's made for the neder insofar as it applies to him, or Tena Tulum and Ayahudim, and fine, she'll be removed from the rest of the Jewish people in the sense that if she, in the sense that if her husband dies or divorces her, then she will in fact be also to be married, because then the neder will kick in. So now, sort of Nachman says, so you're asking whether according to the Chachamim, a neder of Tashmish is considered inu nefesh, the amat neder inu nefesh, Havi, if you tell me that according to the Chachamim, such a neder is called inu nefesh, amai tehena tulum and ayuhudim. Why would she be removed from the rest of the Jewish people? Why would she be also in Tashmish to anybody else? With neder inu nefesh, once the husband is made for, that's it, it's mufur forever. So then in that case, that would demonstrate, assuming that that Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, that would demonstrate that in fact, it's only considered, even according to the Chachamim, it's only considered Vodim Shebeina Levena. Reb Yossi, we know clearly from the previous Braisa that we learned before, says that it's Dvarim Shebeina Levena. Now it comes out, if you look at that last Mishnah, then it comes out, it's also, apparently that Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, it's a Stam Mishnah after all, and therefore that would mean even according to them, it's Dvarim Shebeina Levena. So Shemamina Dvarim Levena Levena Avian, wouldn't that demonstrate, therefore, that yes, a neder about Tashmish, even according to the Chachamim, is considered Dvarim Shebeina Levena, and therefore it's impossible to be made for the neder completely. But the answer is, the Gemara says, that's not a valid proof. L'rabbanan tibori loch. No, because the fact is, you could still ask the question, according to the Chachamim, whether it is considered that or not. In other words, that Mishnah is not according to the Chachamim necessarily. Mishum din netula ani min ayuhudim Reb Yosi katani lo. Because as a matter of fact, that Mishnah, which includes those three statements that she might make, the context of that Mishnah is, it says there were three statements, which if we uphold them, then it means she's going to have to get divorced from her husband. So originally they said that she does get divorced and she gets uksuba, and we'll learn in the last Mishnah of the Masechta what happens in all these cases. In any case, when she says Netulani min ayuhudim, so that whole Mishnah, Reb Yosi, as a matter of fact, that Mishnah is only according to Reb Yosi. In fact, Rav Huna says that all the Mishnayos in our Perek after the first one are strictly according to Rav Yosi. Mimai, and how does Rav Huna know that? Kiven to Katani, because the end of our Mishnah says, not the end, the middle of our Mishnah said, in our Mishnah, when we started mentioning Nidri Inri Nefesh, things that according to the Chachamim are considered Inri Nefesh, such as not bathing or not wearing cosmetics. And the Mishnah then said, Reb Yosi Yoma Ein Elu Nidra Inu Nefesh. Reb Yosi had said, those don't count as Nidra Inu Nefesh. And we discussed before that means that we had the Machloikas, whether he holds that they count as Dvarim Shebeina Levena or not. In any case, the point is that Lomali Tula Misna Hareze Yofer Divir Reb Yosi. So the Mishnah continues with things that Reb Yosi says are Nidra Inu Nefesh, namely when she makes a neder that she won't eat certain peiros, etc. And then the Mishnah finishes off Divrei Reb Yosi. So why would it need to say again, Hareza Yofer Divrei Reb Yosi? Shmamina, therefore, says Rav Huna, we learn from that. Mikan ve'elach Reb Yosi, from there on, the entire rest of the Perek is according to Reb Yosi. So even though we have the usual rule, Stam Mishnah Reb Meir, here in our Perek, Stam Mishnah is Reb Yosi. So therefore, it comes out that the Mishnah that mentions this case of the three statements that she makes, one of which is a neder netula ani min ayuhudim, would be according to Reb Yosi. Well, very well. According to Reb Yosi, it's dvarim shebeina levena. Fine. We already said in a brisa that Reb Yosi says it's dvarim shebeina levena. The question is still going to be on the chachamim. Are they considering dvarim shebeina levena? You don't have proof from that Mishnah, given that that Mishnah is according to Reb Yosi. So the Ran says that on the face of it, then the Gemara has not answered the question. So therefore, we would have to be machmir and say that we would say that he can only be made for on the grounds of Dvarim Shebeina Levena. In other words, maybe the Chachamim hold that. Maybe they hold it's Nidra Inu Nefesh. Therefore, we're stuck. Therefore, he can only be made for on the grounds of Dvarim Shebeina Levena, meaning that he can only be made for insofar as it while they're married. However, then the Ran says that some say that the Gemara now is going to discuss a statement of Shmuel, and based on that, we're going to start that now on Omer Aleph, and it's going to continue on to Omer Beis, and when we finish it, we may end up saying that we may end up saying that that Shmuel's statement answers according to the Chachamim as well, and based on that, we're able to answer that in fact the Chachamim hold that it is Nidri Inri Nefesh. The Ran himself disagrees with that, but we'll talk about that as we go along. We mentioned yesterday already that the Ran had said that the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah anyway, and everybody else disagrees, and paskins like the Chachamim of our Mishnah. So the question came up yesterday, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So in fact, yes, as usual with the Machlokas Rishonim, I did have a chance to look it up. It does bring both of them, and it says that, he can be made for it. Yesh Omrim, that he can be made for on the grounds of Nidri Inri Nefesh, in which case he can be made for completely. And Yesh Omrim, though, that he can only be made for as Dvarim Shebein Olavein, when it comes to Tashmish.
Can she go to Rav when she gets divorced and ask her?
Can she be Matur Neder when she gets divorced? Sure. If the Rav can find a Pesach or a Charata to be Matur Neder, then sure, yeah. So the Gemara says, Omos Shmuel Mishmei de Levi. Shmuel says, in the name of Levi, an interesting point, an interesting side point is the Rambam writes in his Akdama to the Yad HaChazaka when he lists the chain of Mesorah from Matan Torah until our times. He mentions that Shmuel was a Talmud of Levi. And the Ravid says on that, where are you getting that from? On the face of it, they were Chaverim. So one possible source is our Gemara over here, when we see that Shmuel was saying Mishmei in the name of Levi. And when he says in the name of, as opposed to if it just said, for example, Omar Shmuel, Omar Levi, it could just mean that he heard it from Levi or something. When he says Mishmei in the name of Levi, then it means that he was a Talmud. Yeah. Anyway. So Shmuel says, "Kol nedarim baal made for l'ishtay, all nedarim that a wife makes, the husband is able to be made for his wife as long as they're nidra inu nefesh. Chutz min hana osi al ploini, with the exception where she says a neder that that ploini will be also to have hana for me, because that's not inu nefesh for her. It may be inu nefesh for somebody else, but it's not inu nefesh for her." In fact, by the way, the Meiri makes a point here and in other places in this perek that we don't say Nidre Inri Nefesh is, we don't say, for example, afterwards, like the person regrets it and feels bad about it, that should count as Nidre Inri Nefesh. No, because then anything is going to be Nidre Inri Nefesh. So it means more, in other words, when there's an actual, the neder itself is causing her a deprivation or something like that, as opposed to over here, it's not depriving her of anything, it's depriving the other guy of having enough from her.
For example, be her father.
Yeah, let's say, for example, she made a neder not that her father will be also to have enough from her. Eventually, she may regret it. But nevertheless, that regret is not inu, does not constitute inu nefesh. She wants to go on the basis of that regret and go to a rov and be matur neder is different. But yeah, okay. So chutz min an osi aploini she'ene mefer. So the husband can't be mefer for that because that's not considered inu nefesh for her. Avol hanos ploini alai, but says Shmuel, if she says the other way around, she says I will be also to have anah for ploini mefer, then the husband is able to be mefer. So because there is a certain inu nefesh involved, because now that she's what if for example only that person has something that she wants. So therefore, that's enough for it to be considered inu nefesh, because if he has something that she wants and she can't get it, then that's inu nefesh.
So that's disturbing the relationship between husband.
Inu nefesh ben alvena is disturbing the relationship between husband and wife. Okay. Inu nefesh is that she's deprived of something. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see if that fits with that. Our Mishnah had said Peiros Medina Zualai, that if the woman says that the Peiros and by the way, Mephoshim do point out, the Mukha Yosef, in fact, points out that that in fact it also can be Dvarim Shebein Alavena. So all it is, in other words, we're saying that it's both. It includes Inri Nefesh, but you could even have, for example, suppose the woman makes a neder. We're going to talk about it on Amud Beis. Let's say, for example, you have a type of loaf of bread where there's no real Inri Nefesh involved in it because she doesn't want to eat it anyway. So here, by the same token, you could be talking about she made a neder, let's say, that it's something bad that she's not planning to eat anyway. So maybe that most people wouldn't eat it. So it wouldn't be considered for most people inu nefesh. But if she has inu nefesh from it, she would have wanted this one thing, then that's enough for it to be considered inu nefesh. To that extent, inu nefesh is considered something sort of subjective. Yeah. It means that it depends on her, that depends on the individual. The Shalmei Nedarim, one of the Achronim, who writes an extensive Pirush on Nedarim, points this out, that to a certain extent, Inui Nefesh, now that we said, the Meiri says it doesn't mean that any time a person feels bad about something is Inui Nefesh, but to a certain extent, it is subjective. It depends on the person's individual wants, that if they want something, even though most people wouldn't care for it, then that can still be considered Inui Nefesh to be deprived of it.
Let's say.
So the Gemara says Tanan. Well, let's look at our Mishnah. We said Peiros Medina Zualai, that if she says the Peiros of such and such a country are also to me, we said Yovi Lo Medina Acheres. The husband has to bring can bring from another country. Now the implication is that the Peiros of that country he can't be made for. Well, so why should he be able to be made for when she says the Hana of Pliny is also to me? All the more so, if even when she asks herself the Peiros of an entire country, we're going to say it's not considered something that he can be made for because there's no Inui Nefesh involved and there's no real Dvarim Shebeina Lebeina because it's easy enough to just find fruit from another country. How much more so when she made a neder not to have Hana from Pliny? Why should the husband be able to be made for it? So how does that fit with what Shmuel is answering? The answer is Omer Rabbi Yosef to Omer Shetovim. The answer is Rabbi Yosef answers that she says only the Peiros of such and such a country will be also only if you bring them. So she's saying to her husband, if you bring me Peiros from such and such a country, then the neder is that those Peiros are going to be also to me. But if somebody else brings them, then she doesn't answer her. So now then it becomes easy enough to have those Peiros be brought by somebody else. So therefore it's different than Hanas Pliny Olai. How is she going to have Hana from that guy? There's no way to get around it and to have Hana.
If she's relying on other person to bring instead of her husband?
No. There's two different cases. The Mishnah is talking about, she says, Peiros Medina Plonius Asura Alai, and Rabbi Yosef is clarifying, she means any Peiros that Plony brings me, she says like this, any Peiros that you, my husband, bring me from New Jersey, let's say, are going to be also to me. But if somebody else brings her Peiros from New Jersey, fine. So then there's no Inui Nefesh involved. It's easy enough for her to get Peiros from New Jersey. All she needs is somebody else brings them in. On the other hand, if she says it will be also for me to have Hana from Pliny, then there's no way around that. So now if that Pliny has something that she wants, neither her husband nor anybody else can get it from him because she made Hana from him also to herself. So therefore Shmuel can say that would be Inu Nefesh, and it's not contradicted by the Mishnah. So in fact, the Ran goes on to say, well, in that case, then why doesn't the Mishnah? Why doesn't the Mishnah say he can bring her why does the Mishnah say then that he brings her from a different country? Why doesn't it say somebody else could bring it from that country? And the reason is the Ran says because
no one else can do it.
The point is, in other words, if there was no other way, to get around it, then in fact he would be able to be made for. So what do we have? We have in the Mishnah two things. We have a case where she says koinam peiros olam olai. She makes a koinam against any of a certain kind of fruit. So then we said the husband can be made for. And then we have the case where she says the peiros of a particular medina are also to me. Those two parts have to be parallel, says the Ran. So in the Reisha, though, we're saying that he can be Mefer because saying that the Peiros of such and such a country are also to me is right. The equivalent of saying Hanas Pliny Olai. So now in the Sefer, it says that the reason why, that it's saying that the factor that allows him to be Mefer in the Reisha, because it's Nidra Inu Nefesh, that does not exist in the Sefer because after all there is, because after all in the Sefer, we're talking about that she says Peiros Medina Zualai, and she's saying only when you bring them. And in fact, therefore the husband can get them from somebody else and then bring them as long as he doesn't bring them in from that country. So therefore that's not a valid reason for him to be Mefer.
Why is the Mishnah Sefer parallel?
Because in general, in the Mishnah, we assume that if we have a Reisha and a Sefer where there's only one difference that the Mishnah is highlighting between them, then we should say that's the reason for the difference in halacha. Otherwise the Mishnah is going to be very confusing. Otherwise, how do we know? There could be any number of reasons why the din is different in one case than in the other. So in general, we assume that a Mishnah is going to be formulated in such a way that we have a case and we say the din about it. Then we say a similar case with one change, and that one change makes a difference in the halacha. If we were to say that we have two changes, one that in the ratio she's saying the food of the whole world, regardless who brings it, and in the sefer we said only the payers of a certain place and only if you bring it, then why is it that so why we wouldn't know what it is that triggers the difference in halacha? So therefore, we have to assume that it's we have to assume that as much as possible it's the same.
Even though some missions have like 5-6 different halachas.
Fine, but as much as possible, we try to assume that as one halacha goes to the next, we try to assume that there's only one thing that changes, and that one thing is what makes the difference in halacha. So therefore, so again, so there's no contradiction from that Mishnah on Shmuel, because the Mishnah is talking about where she says specifically any peiros that you bring from that country, as opposed to Shmuel is talking about where she makes a neder not to have anav employed. Toshma, the Gemara says, let's bring another proof.
That means that he's the only one that has
one that has this thing, let's say, yeah. So Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The Mishnah continues, peiros chen menizeh alai. Suppose she said that peiros that come from such and such a storekeeper are also to me ein yochel lahafer. So we said he can't be mefer for the same reason, because she could just get it by another store.
We learned on this.
So hence, one second. We said in the Mishnah. Only yeah, there's a difference between that's the Mishnah is going to quote. The Gemara is going to quote that now. But wait. So first, the question is, when we say that she says that peiros chen menizeh alai ein yochel lahafer, well, why not? According to Shmuel, she should be able to be mefer. The answer is Hachanami to Kamash Tavi Ata. The answer is there also. You can say that it's talking about where she says any payers that you bring from that storekeeper. So again, therefore, it is possible for her to get from that storekeeper. All you need is somebody else brings it to her, and he also could bring from someplace else. So there are so many ways around. There's so many ways to avoid the inri nefesh. Therefore, he can't be maker. The Gemara says, fine, let's continue. The Mishnah had said, Loi hoisa parnasasa ela mimenu. Suppose that the husband gets his parnasa only from the storekeeper, because we said in the Mishnah the case is this is the only storekeeper who'll give him credit. Hareza yofer, then he is able to be made for the neder. Now, the e amit to ka'omer shatavi ata. Now, again, if you're saying that she said that only when you bring these payers, am I yofer? Why should he be able to be made for? Again, it's perfectly possible to have hana from that storekeeper. All you need is that a third party goes and buys from him. So that's not reason enough for it to be considered inui nefesh. So if we said that the Mishnah is not distinguishing, she says in all cases that the peiros of that chenveni will be also to me. Okay, well then we understand why it's nidra inui nefesh, because there's no other storekeeper that they can reasonably buy from, or it might happen they're out of money, whatever, and there's no other storekeeper who'll give them credit. But if you're telling me anyway that the Mishnah is limited only to shatavi, then there's no nidra inui nefesh over here. All you need is to ask a third party to go buy it in the store. Ella.
You can't say that they live somewhere out in the woods where no one else can breathe in it?
No, Mepasha's not. Okay. Ella, the sefer de leimaisi baal havi. So given, therefore, that the sefer, the last case of the Mishnah, by elimination, it can't be talking about just where the husband brings it, reisha de kamaisi he. Then the reisha would have to be... Then the Reisha, when she says that all the payers are also to me, would have to refer to even to Kamaisa he, even if she or some other person brings them. And nevertheless, so what are we saying? That after all, we're saying the husband can't be made for in those cases, because it's possible to get from a different Medina, from a different country, or from a different storekeeper. And now, according to Shmuel, it should be possible to be made for, because he says if she makes a neder not to have anav from Pliny, then he's able to be made for. According to now, what we've deduced from the Mishnah, it sounds like not like that. In fact, the Ran, by the way, explains that there are actually three different gersois in this line of the Gemara. All of them, he says, amount to the same thing. First he brings a girsa mid the sefer to kamaisahi. Since in the sefer, we're talking about where she brings the fruit, because by elimination, we said can't be talking about where only he brings it, where she makes the neder only when he brings it, because then we said there'd be no reason that he should be able to be mefer. Reisha nami to kamaisahi, then the reisha would also have to be referring to a case where she or somebody else brings the payers. That's the first girsa. The second girsa is what we have in front of us in the Gemara. And then the third one is, then he brings a third girsa. Mid the sefer to kamaisi baal, since in the sefer, mid the sefer to kamaisi baal, habi, since in the sefer, we're talking about when the husband is bringing reisha to kamaisi ihi, then by elimination, the first case must be talking about where she's bringing. And that's what makes the difference in halacha. So the Ran says that ultimately all of them kind of come out to the same kind of thing. It means, in other words, that we're saying One is saying that she limited the neder to things that her husband would bring, and the other one is talking about where she extended it also to things that she will bring or that somebody else will bring or whatever. In any case, the Mishnah seems to contradict Shmuel, because according to Shmuel, anytime she makes a neder to not have enough employee from a certain country or from a certain storekeeper or whatever, the husband should be able to be made for. No difference of whether she and at least some of the cases in the Mishnah were saying are talking about where she didn't limit it only to things that her husband is going to bring. So now we have a contradiction on Shmuel. The Rosh points out something else as well. He says that if we were saying that in fact there is a distinction between whether he brings them or whether she brings them, then the Mishnah should actually be making that distinction. In other words, instead of making a distinction between one storekeeper out of many versus one storekeeper where they take all their business to him because he's the only one who gives credit, that instead, if in fact there's a distinction between her making a neder only when the husband brings from that storekeeper versus when everybody does, then the Mishnah should be making that distinction itself. So doesn't that show, therefore, there's no distinction? Well, then that contradicts Shmuel. So the Gemara answer is no. So no, rather, the reason why in the Reisha he's not able to be Mefer, or to come Maisehi. You're right, you're talking about where she's saying that it's true. The Reisha is talking about where she says the Peiros of that Chenmini are also no matter who brings them, whether she brings them, whether her husband brings them, whether anybody brings them. Nevertheless, that doesn't contradict Shmuel, because Shmuel is talking according to the Chachamim, Masnissin or Masnissin Rabbi Yosi, and we know, as we said before, that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yosi. The Amar Rav Huna Kolei Pirkin Rabbi Yosi, as we had before, Rav Huna told us that the entire Perek is Stam Mishnayas according to Rabbi Yosi. So therefore, so there's no contradiction, no matter how you learn our Mishnah, because they're talking about two different opinions.
Shmuel's Rabbi Yosi is bringing down Rabbi Yosi's
So that's what we're saying. In other words, we're saying the beginning of our Mishnah was points to Chacham. Then Rabbi Yosi disagreed and said that the things that you mentioned, bathing and wearing cosmetics, are not considered Nidra Inri Nefesh. What are considered Nidra Inri Nefesh? And he goes through and describes all these scenarios involving payments. And then the Mishnah finishes off, Divrei Rabbi Yosi, these are the words of Rabbi Yosi, which tells us that the rest of the parak is pointed to Rabbi Yosi. So in fact, the Ran points out over here, the Ran and all the other Mephoshim over here point out, the Gemara didn't really need to bring that point. Here, yes, in our Mishnah, we clearly see that all of this is what Rabbi Yosi is saying. Rabbi Yosi is saying, Ein Elo Nidra Inu Nefesh, Ve'elohen Nidra Inu Nefesh, and so forth. So we didn't even need to bring really what Rav Huna is saying. The reason why we're bringing it, says the Ran, is because the next Mishnah that we're going to have is going to talk about a case where she says, she makes a neder that I won't have hana from people. So we say, the Mishnah says, I'm pegim along the base, koinam shani nan alabrias, eni yachal hafer. He's not able to be made for that. As we'll learn there, why not? The point is that therefore the Gemara would have been able to ask on Shmuel from that. So therefore the Gemara forestalls that by telling us you should know that Mishnah is also only according to Rabbi Yosi. So in other words, you're right. If we only had our Mishnah to deal with, we wouldn't even needed to bring up Rav Huna's point. In our Mishnah, it's clearly what Rabbi Yosi is saying. The problem is the next Mishnah, which is where the next Mishnah says that he can't be made for, whereas according to Shmuel, he ought to be made for. And the answer is Shmuel is talking according to the Chachamim, and that Mishnah, now that we have Rav Huna's statement that all the Mishnayos in our parak are according to Rabbi Yosi, then we understand that the next Mishnah on Pei Gimel Amud Beis is also according to Rabbi Yosi. So therefore, no contradiction. That is why.
Let me finish my sentence.
That is why the Gemara takes the trouble over here to mention Rav Huna's point again, because otherwise, if we had just said our Mishnah is like Rav Yosi and Shmuel was talking according to Chachamim, then the Gemara would have immediately said, well, what about the next Mishnah? So instead of having to go through that, the Gemara just forestalled that by saying you should know it's according to Rav Huna. You should know that Rav Huna tells us that Mishnah as well is according to Rav Yosi. So what?
So if that's the case, why does it have to be brought here and not in the next Mishnah?
Why does what have to be brought here? We're discussing Shmuel's statement. We're discussing
Shmuel. The fact that it's from Rabbi Yosi, you said that it's in order to know in the next Mishnah.
The end of our Mishnah says, Divrei Rabbi Yosi. And Rav Huna tells us that means that from here on, all of the Mishnayos are according to Rabbi Yosi. So that's how it is. In other words, the one.
Yes, but my question is, why do we have to bring it here instead of in the next Mishnah?
Because that's how it is. Once we brought a statement from
Rabbi Yossi disagreeing with the
Chachamim. One second, because listen, once we brought a statement from Rabbi Yossi disagreeing with the Chachamim in our Mishnah, then we continue and we say this is Divrei Rabbi Yossi, and you should know so is the rest of our parak.
Clarify the future.
Yeah. So that's all it is. Ramosha's question is, why doesn't it say at the beginning of the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer? Right, because once we already mentioned Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, then already, yeah. The point is, in other words, the Gemara continues, Umay Ein Yochel L'Hofer. So what does it mean in our Mishnah when it says Ein Yochel L'Hofer, that he cannot be Mefer, would mean Mishum Inui Nefesh, means he's not able to be Mefer on the grounds of Nidra Inui Nefesh, because that's what Rabbi Yossi would hold. Avol Mefer, Mishum Avol Mefer, Nidorim Shebeina Levena, Mishum Nidorim Shebeina Levena, but he would be able to be Mefer on the grounds of Nidorim Shebeina Levena, because after all, it's a hardship for him that he has to now go get Paris from another country or from another storekeeper. Yeah. So now the Ran explains like this. So what are we saying? We said that Shmuel is going according to the Chachamim, not according to Rabbi Yossi. Well, that would be a reason to say that the halacha would be, that would be another reason to say that the halacha would be like the Chachamim. Because even though, yes, we're saying the whole perek is according to Rabbi Yossi, we wouldn't consider it a regular Stam Mishnah. We would say the halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. Rather, we would say on the basis of this, now that we've established that Shmuel is talking according to the Chachamim, then that would be a reason why to paskin like a letter Chachamim. Now, on the other hand, the Ran says that Acherim Oimrim, and those Acherim include the Rambam, they also include the Rashba, say like this, that no. If you look at the last line of our Gemara over here, the last line of what we just said, Umay Ein Yochel L'Hofer Mishum Inui Nefesh Avol Mefer Nedarim Shebeina Levena, there is another way of understanding, and the Rosh, for example, mentions this, that this is actually a second answer of the Gemara. The Gemara is answering that so far one answer was we're saying that Shmuel is according to the Chachamim. So therefore, our Mishnah about the case of the storekeeper, and the next Mishnah about where he makes a neder not to have hanav from anybody, where she makes a neder not to have hanav from anybody, are not contradicting Shmuel, because those are according to Rabbi Yossi, and Shmuel is talking according to the Chachamim. But another possible answer is that even Shmuel, you could say, agrees with Rabbi Yossi, is holding according to Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi would say when he says lo yofer, he doesn't mean it can't be mefer. He doesn't mean that the husband can't be mefer at all. We mean it can't be mefer in the way that you would nidri in your nefesh, but he could be mefer in the way that you're mefer dvarim shebeina levena, namely that afara is in effect as long as they're married. Well, if we learn that way, then it comes out that the Gemara is saying possibly that Shmuel holds according to Rabbi Yossi. Then that would actually be a reason maybe to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Now the Ran himself disagrees with that. He says because then the Gemara wouldn't have had to bother mentioning who the Mishnah is like. To answer Shmuel, all we need is to just say that Shmuel is saying that you can be made for on the grounds of Dvarim Shebeina Levena, and both Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim agree with that. There'd be no reason to point out that our Mishnah is appointed Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, the Ran sticks with the first opinion that no, the Gemara is not giving two answers. The Gemara is finishing off the first answer and saying that Shmuel holds according to the Chachamim and not according to the Yossi. So as we said, the bottom line is you have a machlokas rishonim whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi or like the Chachamim. As far as this question of whether Tashmish is considered nidri inu nefesh, as far as this question of when she makes a neder from one particular medina or one particular storekeeper or whatever, whether it's considered inu nefesh or whether it's considered dvarim shebeina levena. So again, on each of these things in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. You have the opinion of the majority of the Rishonim, and then you have the Yesh Omrim that says that it would be dvarim shebeina levena. So that includes the Rambam and the Rashba, but nevertheless, that's the right. So they hold the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. ultimately it goes back to this machlokas tanoim. Many times you have that kind of thing, by the way. This isn't the only place. We had back in Yevamos, for example, on the question of whether Yibum or Chalitza is preferable, where you have a machlokas Abba Shol and the Chachamim, where Abba Shol holds that nowadays Chalitza is preferable, and the Chachamim hold Yibum is preferable, and Adar Yemazeh, you have that machlokas, because ultimately you have the Rishonim argued whether the halacha is like Abba Shol or whether the halacha is like the Chachamim. And you wind up with the Mechaber and the Ramah arguing about it. And therefore, Adar Yemazeh, you have a difference between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim in that. So yeah, many times if we trace back the Machlokas and a difference of Minhagim that you have nowadays, so there can be time when it's traceable all the way back to a Machlokas Tanoim. And so it is over here. The question boils down to which one of the Tanoim is the Halacha like.
Now, would we say that Bechumish, that you go content more the second, the last shot over the first shot? Or was that Chumash and Rashi?
In Chumash and Rashi, no. When Rashi brings more than one pirush in Chumash, the Rebbe always explains it means there's a problem with each one of them, and each one addresses a weakness that would have been in the other ones, and that's why you need all of them. In Shulchan Aruch, there are rules, I think, that there are klalei aposkim that say that many times when Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions, I think many times we do say that we follow the second opinion, but I'm not sure whether that's the case here yet. Okay. New discussion. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Nadra mishtei kikros. Suppose a woman made a neder about two loaves of bread. So there are loaves of bread sitting in front of her, and she said two of these loaves are also to me. Ba'achas mis'ana of achas ein mis'ana. One of them, the deprivation of it will be inui nefesh. The other one will not. So the Ran explains, let's say one of them is white bread and the other one is pumpernickel bread. So she wasn't planning to eat the pumpernickel anyhow. So therefore, for her, that's not inui nefesh. But the white bread is inui nefesh. The Rosh points out another example as well. It could also be, for example, that she only needs, she hasn't eaten yet. She needs to eat something, but she only needs one loaf of bread. She doesn't need two. So once she eats one, then she won't have inui nefesh anymore. So now what happens though? She made the neder on both of them. So sort of Yehuda is telling us, since he's able to be mefer the one about which there is inui, the white bread, for example, mefer the she'ena misana, then therefore his hafara can include also the one that she's not misana.
We learned before, when you do a little bit, once
you misana. So we'll talk about this. So Tosfos actually says that on the grounds of neder shehuta miktsase huta kulay. However, the Ran does not learn that way, because that would apply to aktoras nedarim of a chacham. That wouldn't necessarily apply to aforas nedarim of a husband. So the Ran actually has a long discussion over here. So first let's learn the other opinion in the Gemara, and then we'll discuss the reasons behind these opinions. So for Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yechanan, on the other hand, Rav Asi tells us in the name of Rav Yechanan, no, Mefer the Misana, the Ein Mefer the She'ena Misana. He can only be Mefer regarding the one for which there is Inui and not the other one. So his Afara will be effective only on the white bread, not on the pumpernickel. The Ikadam, another version is that it wasn't that Rav Asi made the statement in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, but rather Bominate Rav Asi and Rabbi Yechanan. According to the second version, Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yechanan, Nodra Mishtei Kikris, what if she made a neder about two loaves of bread, Ba'achas Misana of Achas Ein Misana, one of them involves Inui Nefesh, the other one does not, Mahu, what would be the din? Omalei, and according to this version, Rabbi Yechanan answered him, Mefer the Misana, but Ein Mefer the She'ena Misana, he can only be Mefer regarding the one that there's Inui, but not the other. Now, so the Ran discusses like this. So he starts by saying that he couldn't find any explanation. Why would Shmuel say? What's the logic of this? You're saying gror. You're saying once he's made for one, then it drags along the other one with it. What would be the logic? So again, yeah, Tosfos mentions the point of neder shehuta miktsase huta kulay, but the Ran doesn't seem to want to learn that way. So he says like this. The pasuk says about a wife's neder, it says the husband can be made for it. The isha yiferet. Later on in the perek, we're going to learn that when the husband is made for the neder, he has to be made for the entire neder. We're going to have something about it later on daf pezayin that you can have for the Mishnah describes over there. Let's say, for example, she made a neder that I won't eat these figs and these grapes. So then he has to be he can't be Makayim one part of it and made for the other part. He has to be made for the whole thing, or Makayim. He has to be made for the whole thing. So now like this though, let's consider. What So Shmuel takes the view, well, therefore, takes that at face value. So therefore, so he has to, if he's going to be made for, he has to be made for the whole thing. Well, therefore, that's going to include even the part that doesn't include inner nefesh. On the other hand, Rav Asi is going to take the view that, you know what? When the Torah is saying you have to be made for the entire neder, means you have to be made for all of what you're able to be made for. Now, the husband only is able to be made for inui nefesh or dvorim shebein alavena. Therefore, Rav Asi, in the name of Rav Yechanan, is saying that no, if you have part of the neder involves inui and the other part does not, then automatically one part of it is excluded from the husband's rights to be made for. Therefore, he's made for everything that he can be made for. That doesn't affect the rest of it.
And then when you say the cloud, like Tracy says,
so there's so neder shahuta maktasa huta kula, it would apply to our Torah Sindarim, not necessarily to our Farah. Uh-huh. Our Farah and our Torah, remember, are two different things. Yeah. The Ran also adds a point. Now, what about though? We discussed before in the Sugya, and again, we're going to have the last Mishnah of Armasechta is going to discuss a case where a woman makes a neder, Netulani mina Yehudim, that she says that I'm removed from all Jewish men, meaning that I'll be also to have Tashmish. That's what we said. So we said the neder can be chal on her husband as well. However, the husband can be made for that part, and the rest of it remains in effect. So you can be because Dvarim Shebein Alvein.
But even that shouldn't take effect because that's again.
So that's what we said. We learned yesterday the difference how she formulated the neder. If she said the hana of Tashmish with me is also to you, she doesn't have the right over that hana to deprive her husband of it. But if she says the hana of Tashmish with you is also to me, you can't force a person, we said, to eat something which is to eat or to enjoy something which is also to them. So therefore, the neder takes effect. However, we said the husband can be made for the part insofar as it applies to him. Now, the question is, there we have an example of a neder that's only partially mutter, and we don't say that he's matter the whole thing. The Ran says, and all the other mephoshim over here add, there's a different, that's the point, there's a difference between nidri inri nefesh and dvorim shebein alavena. That pasuk isha yiferenu is talking about la'anois nefesh, it's talking about nidorim that involve deprivation. So those, the pasuk is saying, isha yifkimenu, the isha yifirenu, her husband can be makayim, or her husband can be mefer, and from that is what we learn later on, and daf pei zayin, that if the husband is going to be mefer, he has to be mefer the entire neder. So that concept of being mefer, the entire neder, that you can't be mefer, only part of it, applies only to nidre yuni nefesh. It doesn't apply to dvarim shebein alavena. Well, since we're saying a neder of Tashmish is considered according to that Mishnah, only Dvarim Shebein Levena, again, because we said that Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yossi, and we said even the Chachamim might also agree that it's only Dvarim Shebein Levena. That's we had a machlokas before about that in the Gemara. Not a machlokas, we had a question about it in the Gemara, and we left it unresolved. Then therefore, the answer would be that yes, when it comes to Dvarim Shebein Levena, in fact, it is perfectly valid to be made for only part of the neder, only the part that applies to him, and for the rest of the neder to stay intact, as opposed to with nidre inri nefesh, where there we have later on limud that you have to be made for the whole thing. So now the Ran says that you have the machloikas over here, Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan. Shmuel is going to say that given that, then therefore he has to be made for the whole neder. If you prevent him from being made for the part where there's no inui, then he's not going to be made for any part of it. And the Torah gave him the rights over nidre inri nefesh. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan would say, that's not a problem. The Torah is telling you, you have to be made for all the part that you're able to be made for on the grounds of inri nefesh. But the pumpernickel bread is not inri nefesh at all. Therefore, that's excluded to begin with. Therefore, you can be made for whatever is left, whatever is nidre inri nefesh, and that's considered being made for the whole thing. So that would be the fundamental machlokas between Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan. So now we'll continue tomorrow. Best Hashem, the Gemara is going to go through this, where we're going to ask questions on Rabbi Yechanan and work this out whether in fact this is the case, and end up saying about this, when you have a case like this where it's part inner nefesh and part not, that Rabbi Yechanan is saying you can't be made for the whole thing, only the part that's nidre inri nefesh. So we're going to work that out in more detail in the Gemara tomorrow, Bas Hashem.
What's the machlokes about the neder and Shmuel?
Between Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel, so we just said Rabbi Yechanan holds. Suppose a woman has two loaves of bread in front of her. Right. One is regular bread. One is white bread. One is pumpernickel bread. She makes a neder that she won't eat either one of them.
Either one, pumpernickel, the white bread.
Yes, now the white bread is inui for her because she would like to eat it. The pumpernickel, she wasn't planning to eat anyway. Rabbi Yechanan, so Shmuel is saying, doesn't matter, he can be made for both parts. Rabbi Yechanan is saying he can only be made for about the white bread, but not about the pumpernickel. So we just discussed. The Ran explained the Svara behind them, and then we're going to discuss in more detail in the Gemara tomorrow. He said, we just said that the Ran says that the since you have, when you're made for a Nedu, you have to be made for the whole thing, Shmuel holds. Well, therefore, that means the whole thing. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it only means the part, it only means the whole thing insofar as the husband can be made for. You can only be made for Nedu in your Nefesh, therefore just the right one. Yeah. So we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and work that out in more detail.
I said, what about the Tashmish? What was that all?
Tashmish was something else. That was, we said that if she makes a neder about Tashmish in formulated in a certain way, it is effective, but it's considered Vodim Shebeina Levena. The husband is able to be made for it insofar as it applies to him, such that she'll be able to continue to have Tashmish with him. But if he ever dies or divorces her and she remarries, then she won't be able to be married because the neder will still be in effect.
She won't be able to be married.